and welcome back to Hip to Be a Square Podcast, your place for things quilty and geeky. Today is April 13th. It has been quite some time since I podcasted solo for you all. Apologies for the absence. I think I did mention on my last solo episode that I was in the middle of, well, frankly, in between trips, and that just is always incredibly distracting to me. And we ended up doing our family vacation. We had a whole week away, and the first part of that was spent in Washington, D.C., and then the last part was spent visiting my parents in Virginia. And I will say the D.C. trip was probably one of my favorite family vacations that we've taken, and part of that is appropriate preparation on everybody's part, and the other part was me not trying to overplan things, which I can sometimes do if we're going outside of our normal, let's just go to the beach and hang out. So we stayed in an Airbnb, which was like a basement apartment in a brownstone right near the Capitol building. So we were about a block and a half from there. It was definitely walking distance, real close to a metro station, which was nice to help get around a little bit. And it was a lot of walking, which was good. That is definitely up my daughter's alley. I had asked everyone before we went, you know, hey, what's one thing everybody wants to do, and we'll make sure to plan that in. And the kids really didn't have any ideas. I told them to go look some things up, and yeah, no, nothing. So, but I knew my daughter likes walking, and I told my son to ask his social studies teacher, or he's taking human geography, and he really loves that teacher, for his suggestions. Well, he had never been to D.C., so he had no ideas, so he asked a friend, and the friend was like, go see the monuments. Well, okay then. So we knew we were doing that, and we knew we were going to do the Air and Space Museum, both of them, for my husband, because he is a big aviation nut. So we had some of those specific things in mind, but other than that, we played it by ear. There was one museum that I wanted to go to called Art Tech House, which is, it's a private museum, and it is a little bit away from the National Mall, where, you know, most of the other Smithsonian museums and everything are. But it's like a digital art installation, and the particular exhibits that they have going on right now, I think through May, all relate or are inspired by cherry blossoms. And so there were some weird kind of woo-woo things, and then there was just some fun digital things, and then I thought it was interesting, and I thought my daughter would also enjoy it, even though she probably wouldn't admit it. But we definitely had fun, and a lot of really good food. There was good stuff all within walking distance. And we figured out our best routine was, you know, get up, have some breakfast, start heading out around 9:30 or so, wander up. Museums tend to open around 10, and we'd be out at a museum or two until about 12 or 1, at which point we'd be hungry for lunch, so we'd grab lunch and maybe at a museum, or there's a whole bunch of food trucks that go to the Capitol and park there. And I think we counted there were at least 5 trucks on the one side of the road that serve Philly cheesesteaks, so my son was in hog heaven. And we head back to our apartment probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock every day, and everyone just kind of take that time to unwind, relax. We didn't have cable that we could figure out how to get access to on the one TV in the living room space, but we did find all the on-demand apps. And so my son pulled up History Channel and found the show that turns out was the sweet spot of the intersection of everyone's interest in my family, and I didn't think that was possible. Now, part of that may be just vacation desperation, because we've tried to get the kids to watch it since we got home, and they are not interested. But oh well. But it's a show called Forged in Fire. It is about blade making and blacksmithing. And so it's got, you know, my son's interest in, hey, weapons, and my husband's interest in crafting and making things, because he works a lot with metal with his job on airplanes, although not attaching knives to them. my interest from a reality show competition. I like seeing things being made. And I think my daughter appreciated some of the artistry and the weaponry, particularly when it comes down to some of the other cultures and like just really weird blade names. They were like, what the heck is a hungamunga? Well, now we all know. Now I know how Damascus steel is made, you know, all this education that we took in. And so we'd go back to the apartment and watch like two or three episodes of that in the afternoon. And then we'd be like, all right, time for dinner. So we'd walk back out and get dinner and then come on back. And everyone would kind of retreat to their own space. Yeah, about 8, 9 o'clock or so. And it just worked out really well. It was a nice balance. We had a lot of togetherness, but it wasn't, oh, we're all trapped in the same hotel room, because we had an apartment. There was enough space, which was nice. And then you could tell when we got to my parents' house, like, then everyone legitimately retreated to their own room because we had more space there. And like, we all didn't talk to each other for about 4 or 5 hours after we got there. I'm sure my mom was like, what's wrong with everyone? We're like, nope, just been together for 4 days, need a break. So it was a good vacation. I am glad to be home though. And I think I might have one short trip at the very beginning of May, but it's in the same time zone, which is good. It's this week-long different time zone is just killing me. So I think it's just a quick Monday to Wednesday, which is infinitely tolerable. So that's good. Then after that, I don't think I have anything until Quilt Market. Yeah. So, in the quilting world, I have gotten some things done. Oh, okay. So Lynn and I have talked quite a bit about the episode of The Stitch that drops next week, and then on the virtual stitch-in that we filmed last night. We had our entry deadline for quilts for our guild show. Now, the guild show is at the beginning of June. It starts June 6th. And the call for quilts ended at the end of March. And so we were, you know, did the half-hearted, like, yeah, I'll throw a quilt in there. And then you hear that we don't have enough quilts, and then you decide, well, I could make some more quilts by then. And so I ended up entering 3 more quilts for a total of 4. And I think we find out next week which ones actually got entered. I'm kind of hoping at least one didn't get accepted, because that's a lot of quilts to finish. I just put the finishing binding stitches on the second one last night. So now I have 2 of the 4 done that I submitted. One of the other ones, relatively small. It's my hand applique piece, and it's about 24 inches square, so it's not going to take that long to quilt. But then the other one, I submitted Dresden Garden, because I have the hand stitching done, and I have like the embroidery piece done, and I, you know, it's just all the quilting on it, but that's going to be kind of insane. So I'm like, I hope that one didn't get accepted, because that one's going to be a lot more work to finish. But it would finally force me to actually get it done. I'm thinking that will be a fall finish if it didn't make it in the show, though. So we'll see. Now, later tonight, I need to put the binding on my Bonnie Hunter Mystery, the Good Fortune one from this year, because I've had that quilted for a while, and it's been folded up in a bag, but I need to get it bound and then wrapped as a wedding gift for my nephew. And then I have another top that I finished that's a sample for a quilt. I also have designed our next Block of the Month program, and I need to put together yardage estimates and get that fabric pulled together. Yeah, so no shortage of quilting that needs to be happening. And I also still have some knit fabric left that I want to work with and make some additional tops, but I gotta figure out what pattern I want to use for them. So yeah, lots of sewing stuff going on. And my sewing table is just kind of messy, and it's driving me nuts. There's just too much stuff on it. So I gotta figure out how to clean that off. Make some quick work out of some blocks so I can get this donation top that I've been kind of piecing on and off for a couple months, because it's just driving me nuts. I'm tired of looking at it, so I want to get that done too. But yeah, it's going pretty well. Nothing's on fire. Everything's going okay at my day job. trying to think, like, it's been a month. You'd think more would have happened, but mostly it was me catching up on stuff. So, yeah. Oh, here's the other pickle I've gotten myself into. So I have 3 baby quilts to make. One, I know the design for. In fact, I'm looking at the sketch of it right now, and I even have measurements and, like, I think the cut, well, not cutting instructions written out, but, like, the number of each type of block that I need for it. I have that written. Okay, cool. That is for a baby that's due in September. I don't know when the shower's going to be, but I'm thinking I need to have that one done probably by July, because it's a woman that I work with, but she's in another city, so I have to ship it to her. And then I have another baby quilt with no idea of the pattern, but I know the palette, and it's navy and gray and white. And, you know, I have been told I can choose accent colors at my will. So I'll be doing that as well. And then there's a third baby quilt that I have zero details on because they want to wait until after the baby's here. And I don't know if, like, there's an assumption that the baby will have a personality or come out of the chute with preference for colors. Like, I don't know how that's going to happen, but they want to wait. I'm like, okay, well, alrighty. So I'm kind of stumped on this navy gray and white one. Because there's no other, like, animal theme or anything to draw from. I'm like, all right, well, now what? I'm sure something will come to me. More than likely, I will dig into ye old archives from the Stitch TV show patterns and use one of those, because it's always nice to have another sample quilt made to show off. But yeah, I just have to sort out what that's going to be. One of the quilts that I was working on, an upcoming sample for another pattern that we're releasing towards the fall, it's got some applique elements on it, and I had been fusing those down with my iron and was letting the piece cool off, and then Jet went and sat on it and then started acting weird and, like, turning around abruptly and looking at his own hindquarters like, what happened there? And it turns out he put a big old skid mark on the applique piece, so I had to peel that off, which was just delightful. And of course, it was a piece of tulip pink fabric, and I was real irritated with him. It's a good thing he's cute, but I didn't really talk to him for a couple hours. I was so mad. And he kept trying to come up and get me to pet him. I'm like, nope, still kind of mad. Still mad about my tulip pink fabric. Got a big old skid mark on it, had to throw it away. And as I was telling Lynn this and thinking, like, oh, maybe I could wash it, she's like, no, you'd always know that it had poop on it. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So, good news, I remedied that today. Cut out a new piece of fabric, a different piece of tulip pink fabric, and then immediately, like, fused it, didn't let it cool, took it right to the sewing machine, like, didn't let him sit on it at all. And now it's hanging up on a hanger. So it's practically impossible for him to get anything on it now, which is nice. Of course, I have to figure out a back for that quilt, too. So, while we were traveling, I did do a little bit of reading. Not a ton. I haven't been stressing myself out. I was looking at the imminent library holds, because I can preview, like, my electronic holds, and it was looking like there was going to be a pileup of, like, 6 books in 1 week, and I thought, I can't do that to myself. That's no bueno. So I put a couple of those on temporary hold, so I wouldn't have that problem, and I think now I'm going to end up with, like, 2 a week for a span of about 5 weeks, or 2 every other week, I think is how it's going to work out, which works out okay because I can borrow the books for 2 weeks electronically from the library. But having said that, I was looking forward to, well, so there's an author named Samantha Shannon that writes a series called The Bone Season, and it was described as, like, the next Harry Potter. Now, I would not go that far because it's much more mature in terms of theme, And I think she has 3 books written. There might be 7 total, but we're in the middle of her writing it. And, you know, these are kind of epic fantasy-ish. Well, not epic fantasy. They are urban fantasy, I would say, because they take place in future London and other parts of the UK. And she takes her time writing them, which I appreciate as a reader. I would like to read good books. But there was like a random one-off novel that she published this year called The Priory of the Orange Tree. And I, you know, had been hoping for the 4th book in the Bone Season, and we got this instead, but I still wanted to read it. It's, this one is definitely epic fantasy. It's like dragons, medieval-ish times. There is magic, but magic is kind of frowned upon by the super religious part. So it's essentially a land that's divided into 4 parts, and, you know, they're very trite, north, south, east, and west. But it's the story of, you know, the one great evil is getting ready to rise from the 1,000-year slumber that it's been under. And so everyone's kind of dealing with the repercussions of that and figuring out, like, okay, how can we actually put this bad guy down for good? And it's a really involved story. It starts off super confusing because there's like 0 context, no description. You got no idea what's happening. All of a sudden, like, some person washes up on shore and is helped by a woman. And you're like, okay, is one of these people the hero? Is this just like a random peasant that's wet? So it did take a little bit to get into and understand what was happening. And I had started reading it as an ebook on my Kindle. And then I went ahead and got the audiobook because I knew with travel, I would probably be more likely to listen to things than I would to read them, especially if we're going to be in the car for any amount of time. I can't read in a car. So I would say I finally picked up on what was happening about a fifth of the way into the book. I was like, all right, I think I know, you know, here's the characters, here's all their deals. I can keep them straight. Here's what's happening. And what I... the book gets a lot of kudos for representing a gay love story as a central, as a key issue for one of the characters. But I will be honest, as I was reading / listening to it, we're about a third of the way through, and I'm thinking, where is this thing that everyone's proclaiming glory for? And then when it happened, it was such a non-issue. Not in terms of the plot, like it did cause issues for the characters, but in terms of a, you know, clutch your pearls and gasp and be horrified that this happened. It was sort of like, oh, well, no, it was not at all the contentious point of that relationship was not at all that it was same sex. It was that they were different classes and that one was a ruling class and the other was not. And it was nice to see that it, like, it just acknowledged, like, hey, these are just people having a relationship. And I appreciated that about it. And I feel like that's something that's missed in all the reviews that mention that affair. So if you read it and you think it's going to be some big political thing, just know that, like, no, it's just treating, you know, a gay relationship just as a relationship. You didn't have to put the modifier on there. Like, it's just a relationship, and it causes tension in the story because of the class difference. So if you were at all hesitant or like, what's up with that? It's, I don't want to call it a non-issue. I admired and appreciated so much the handling of it. And I think she did that really well as the author. So that being said, if you like high fantasy, I would definitely give it a read. It's going to take a while because it's a big old honking book. It's like 800 pages, I think. And like 40 hours of audiobook. Yeah. But it is a complete story from beginning to end. So there probably could be a sequel, but there doesn't have to be one. So it is a complete story, which is nice. Unlike the Bone Season, where you definitely get a feeling like, oh, this stuff is not done. So, let's see. I've read 2 others since then. One is by Christina McMorris. It's called Sold on a Monday. And this is a story of a newspaper reporter, a woman that works at the newspaper, and kind of their interaction and relationship around a story that the reporter wrote. And it's set in, is it just after the Depression, I think? So basically it's, you know, semi-rural, and he's out trying to get a story, ends up taking a picture of a sign on a porch that says, "Children for sale, inquire within." And obviously the family is going through some tough time and can't afford to feed the kids and wants to find them a good home. And it's, he takes this picture and it kind of causes an avalanche of things to happen. And so there's a little bit of intrigue. It's definitely about the characters and the people, which is nice. And the writing's is pretty well done. And so you're trying to unravel the mystery of, like, what happened to these children? Did they get sold? You know, what's going on? And so you spend a good bit of the book trying to figure that out, and then getting to know the reporter and the woman that ends up helping him a bit. So real nice story, definitely about people, not exactly a lady story. It's not just about, like, romance and relationships or anything. But definitely worthwhile if you enjoy just historical fiction, without, I mean, there's high stakes for the kids, but, like, no one got murdered. Spoiler alert. So that was Sold on a Monday by Christina McMorris. And now, speaking of murder, I also read the second book in the Death by Chocolate mystery by Sarah Graves. This is her set of mysteries that, this is her second set of mysteries. Her first set of mysteries was the, I can't remember what the series name was, but they're all set in this town up in Maine. And the first one was all based around, like, oh, I think it's home repair, it's murder. And I forget how many books, there were like 13 books total, and they were all had like fun home repair related names. Now this one is the same set of characters, but, you know, they've kind of moved past the, I guess they finally got their house fixed up. And so now they've moved into, okay, the main character, Jacobia Tiptree, has opened up a chocolate shop / bakery with her friend. And so it's about, look, hey, it's just two gals running a bakery in a small town. People keep getting murdered because, of course, it's a murder mystery. So you'd think, Maybe you should move out of that town. Maybe there's too much murder in that town for the number of people that are there. Just saying. At a certain point, you got to look at Murder, She Wrote and think, why all those people get murdered around her? So, it is, of course, a whodunit, because there's a murder in the first chapter, and they're like, meh, how about that? But then there's other stakes as well, like, oh, financial hardship, and are they going to, is the shop going to stay open? And those kind of questions. So, I would just call it like kind of easy beach reading, easy summer reading, if you're into that, and, lots of good chocolate talk. So it'll make you hungry. So there's that. But that is by Sarah Graves. And, this particular book was Death by Chocolate Malted Milkshake, which might be the way my husband wants to go. He really enjoys a chocolate malt. So I am going to go get back on the quilting saddle, figuratively, not literally, and get this quilt bound tonight. So then tomorrow, we're supposed to have some big storms move in, but I'm hoping they're not as bad as the weathermen proclaim and that I can still do some quilting, because if it is lightning, I will probably unplug all my sewing machines because I don't need them getting fried by lightning. So that's going to be it for now. Thanks for bearing with me while I took my little hiatus. And again, I don't anticipate any other big gaps coming up until we get into November. And then November's probably going to be a bit of a mess, I'll just be honest, because I've got a big, we've got quilt market, and then I have a big thing for my day job as well. So thank you all for tuning in. If you have any burning questions you want to ask, please ask those in the comments, and then I will chat with you all later. Quilt long and prosper. The opening music is a theme from The Stitch by Big Think Productions, courtesy of Ed and Eddie LLC. To find out more about the podcast and listen to archived episodes, visit the website at www.hiptobeasquarepodcast.com. You can contact me, Pam, by emailing info@hiptobeasquarepodcast.com, leaving a comment on the website, or by following me on Twitter at PantsFreesia. You can also find me on Pinterest, Instagram, and Flickr as PantsFreesia. Watch my show, The Stitch, online at www.thestitchtvshow.com and follow the show on Facebook, Google+, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest at The Stitch TV Show. Don't forget, it's hip to be a square.